Welcome to the official podcast of PHP Architect. Join us to listen to the latest news and tech talk from our conferences, the magazine, and wider PHP community.
PHP Architect Podcast. We're a consulting company that publishes a monthly magazine about PHP and related topics. We also host a PHP conference in Chicago. Next year, it's going to be April 27th to the 29th. And you can submit to our CFP at cfp.phptech.io. You can check out the conference and see the early bird tickets and book your hotel today at phptech.io. If you want to submit to the CFP at cfp.phptech.io, that is going until the end of the month. If you have an idea for a talk that's unique to PHP or about PHP or somewhat PHP adjacent, feel free to submit it. We'd love to see it and potentially have you come join us at the conference. We also have a page on our website at phparch.com/podcast-subscribe. If you are listening to the audio version of this or the video version of this, and you're wanting to subscribe on a specific platform, search for the PHP podcast. You should be able to find us. If not, check out this page on our website and you'll find links to Spotify, iTunes, Android downloads, as well as on YouTube. You can watch the video or the audio on YouTube. We also have a blog on our website that you can check out that we constantly are posting updates to, not only updates just about our magazine and our conference, but actually articles or just things that we find interesting. There's also the Community Corner podcast that has articles shows up there. And also, Eric would be really, really happy if you went to our blog and checked out his Laracon US 2026 recap. He did a complete write-up about his experience at Laracon and what he thought. He goes through some of the different features that were announced and the talks that were announced. He would really love it if you checked that out. And with me again this week are my usual partners in crime, Holly and Sarah. How's it going?
Hello, hello.
It's going great. I have ice cream.
Yeah, you didn't bring enough to share. Yeah. I'm going to download some ice cream. It's not going to work. And as you can see, if you're watching the video, I have my special guest with me today. If we're going to be on the internet, let's do it right. I have our little kitten, Rosie, today. Nice. She's been sick lately, so she is very cuddly. Joe's cat is making an appearance, more than the usual tail that peeks into your frame.
Yeah. So the only one without a cat is Sarah at the moment.
But she also has ice cream, so I guess that's
okay. Yeah, that's a fair trade-off.
I mean, given a choice between cats and ice cream, I will take the ice cream because I don't have to clean up the poop from cat from ice cream. Yeah.
I have kids for that.
That's what I did wrong. I don't have kids to clean the cat box. I have to do it.
Okay, apparently my microphone on my headset is a cat toy. I didn't realize that.
Uh-oh, yeah. That'll be a thing.
I mean, it's just dangling, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if I put a feather on it, it would already be dead.
Strap a laser pointer to it. Every time you turn your head, the cat will be like...
Yeah, then it's jumping up against the wall and attacking the wall. Perfect.
Yeah. Oh, I guess this is where... So Rosie's favorite spot to sit is, like, on my chest right here. And so I've been trying to keep her down. It's, like, not in the frame. And that's not working.
No.
The advantage of having boobs is that the cat can sit right on them if you do it right. But
mm-hmm. Look, cat shelf. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Cats like that.
So Joe, PHP, what have you submitted for your CFP so far, Joe?
I have not submitted anything because I was told directly by a very mean person that I was not allowed to submit talks that I had submitted previously to tech. So
I mean, variety is the spice of life.
I mean, that is, and it is a good, I guess, practice to submit different talks to different conferences for sure. So I'm actually kind of working on a couple different things. I actually have a pending task from Eric to go investigate a thing. And I think in investigating that thing, I'm going to do a write-up and do a cost difference on running a thing on platform A versus platform B. And I think I'm going to write an article about it in the magazine. And then I think that's probably going to be a conference talk, just talking through, like, you know, design choices and benefits and, you know, cost breakdown to actually show you know, what are you getting when you're buying different cloud products and that sort of thing. So I think that may do well.
Not bad.
I mean, it's not like any of us are programmers anymore. Yeah, I've stolen our lives.
You should submit a talk on moving blogs to be a top level entry on a website.
Oh, so you're going to get me in trouble.
I mean, I did try to think of a visitor onto the show without telling you who it was.
That's fair.
Who wasn't backstage with the three of us. I said I had a surprise visitor join me, and Joe's like, no, for legal reasons, I need to know who this visitor is.
Yeah. Serious Joe came out real fast there for a minute.
He really did. I'm like, I've never seen you change that fast. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's all good. And like, no, this is not going to work.
That's the whole
NDA or a waiver or anything like that.
No, I think I'm the only one on the show at the moment currently bound by an NDA.
Well, not NDA even, but like a release of likeness rights or anything.
Yeah,
like that.
That one. That's what I meant.
Who wants to say PHP Architect's not going to make an action figure of me? And like, where's my royalties?
Well, I got some bad news for Eric's plans then. So I guess we're not doing action figures at Tech next year, Eric. Sorry. Holly spoiled it.
Oh,
isn't that what last year's elephant was, though? Wasn't it literally a Holly action figure?
It was
literally a Holly elephant. Hey, wait, what are you trying to say about my weight? Is it like an anti-trans
thing? It's not about your weight, it's about your impeccable memory.
Okay, these elephants weigh like what, 20 grams? I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, you should have come to Tech. You could have one. Look, our dictator in chief should not have stopped you.
She did get one, though.
Have you got it yet?
I wasn't sure if I should have mentioned that or not.
Yeah.
We did ensure Sarah got a Holly.
My Holly is currently in California, though.
Okay.
Oh, A. Woods has a good idea. Do speaker bobbleheads.
Oh, that would be so great. We should do that.
That would be... I wonder, like, what the... We need to talk to John. Too bad he's missing. And get his production capacity on his 3D printer, and we can just 3D print bobbleheads.
Oh, my God. We need to do that.
I mean, you're not going to get like amazing resolution, right? Out of like standard PLA or ABS, but it would be good enough.
You know,
okay, but now it's a long time to print, and you're probably going to want to paint because you're going to want multicolor, and actually doing a multicolor print is its own challenge. And
it is, yeah.
Do you have the capacity for that?
I don't myself.
Yeah.
But, like, now I'm jealous of Larry, who's got like his trademark blue shirt and like black leather vest over top of it. Like that would, we could print that today. That would be amazing.
See, Eric agrees that that wouldn't be expensive at all to do action figures for the speakers.
Well, it's not expensive when it's not my money.
Or bobbleheads.
Eric literally did just say it would not be expensive. So,
yeah, we've got it in writing.
I'm taking that literally.
Oh, I think that's getting screenshotted.
Mm-hmm.
We need to find somebody who's really good at the Warhammer 40K painting to do the painting, though.
Man.
I wish I had the patience to do that kind of stuff, because those paintings for those action figures are incredible.
I do not. So what the hell is this? Eric has a bobblehead? Oh, my God. You need, producer Joe, you need to bring this up for this stream.
Oh, can I do that? Let's see. Give me 1 second. I think I can do that.
You know that show we did like 2 months ago? You did great. And I don't know what the hell happened, because it's been sloppy ever since.
I had to do this repeatedly. That's what happened. I have to do it on a cadence now.
It stopped being novel and started being a pain piece.
Yeah, I guess my runtime for planning wasn't enough, so I just needed more planning. So yeah, on the screen for our video viewers, sorry, our audio listeners, you could join us in Discord at discord.phbarch.com, and you could see this amazing bobblehead that Eric has posted in our Discord. So yeah,
the face really does look like him, but like the body, not at all.
I don't think it's tall enough to be Eric. It's definitely not to scale.
I was just going to say, it's too good looking.
Height was not the attribute I was thinking of, let's be honest.
That may be a younger Eric. He said it was back in his baseball days. So
okay, all right, I can see that.
So in the world of PHP, what's been going on?
8.6 is getting closer to release. Very excited about that.
Yeah, it's getting very close to release. Beta 1 comes out next Thursday, a week from today. So Next week, we'll be talking about Beta 1 is coming out, not Beta 3. Alpha 3 was last released. This release next week is going to be Beta 1. And it should have all of the new PR features in it. So that's going to be pretty cool. That should be the first version that everybody's able to test all of the brand new things. And I think most of the deprecations are going to be able to land in that too. So that's going to be probably a good build to start testing your code on is beta one or maybe beta two.
No,
still debating posting another
PR for that. The best release to test your code on is right freaking now. So you can report the bugs so they can be fixed in time for general release.
That's a good point as well.
I mean, what Speaking is the about, point of a 0.1 release if we don't have bugs in the 0.0?
Oh, that was the wrong key.
Serenity now.
So speaking of 8.6 coming up, there is a great blog post on Stitcher.io that has a list of what's new in PHP 8.6. Is there anything in particular you all are excited about?
I was super jazzed to find out partial functions actually exist now. That has been a long time coming.
I really hate the syntax for it, but I don't know a better one. Like that's.
I like the pipe syntax.
No, I don't mind the pipe syntax. I mean, yeah. The dot, dot, dot syntax. I'm not a fan of that, but I also could not come up with a better one if you asked me to. So like, I guess that's going to work. But it just reads very strange, especially when like writing code in chat and you're like, okay, I'm just not filling this part out. Oh no, this is filled out. Rosie, where are you going?
Uh-oh, cat escape.
No, it's a parrot.
An earlier version of this that is not what actually landed, but an earlier version of this that I personally quite liked was using $ and numbers to indicate positional arguments. So you could make a PFA that had multiple arguments going to it, and they didn't actually have to come in order. Let's say you wanted, in array style, stir pauses and in arrays and all those to be in consistent order. You could have a multi-argument function come in, and in one, first it's $1, then it's $2, but in the other, it's $2, then it's $1, and you wind up with something that looks more consistent. But
that's what Swift does, and I honestly don't care for it in Swift. So
I think I'd rather have named arguments, but maybe that's my Python showing.
What are the names of those arguments?
They can be whatever you want them to be. That's why you name them.
Good thing we're live.
Am I using the right thing? Am I calling that the right thing? I may not be.
But how do you then in the declaration of the PFA, how do you distinguish a named argument from a variable that you're setting in at the partial application time?
I'm not atheist. Yeah, I'm not sure how to answer that because I'm not even entirely sure I'm talking about the right thing at the moment.
I mean, you could always just wrap it in an arrow function. Like, that's my thought. Then you have whatever syntax you want.
I mean, and ultimately, that is what I have been doing for many, many, many versions.
Many? I mean, Python's only been there for like one.
Yeah. Well, it's only been in PHP for one. It's been in HTTPM for ages. Y'all using your scrub dialect.
Named arguments is what I was referring to is what Python has, where you can put your arguments to a function in any order because they're mm-hmm. named. So you're passing them in as a named list or a named
object. Oh, sorry. You're talking about just not having to have PFAs in.
I meant the order of the arguments, right? Because you were talking about argument order mm-hmm. and being able to pass
them in and out. Well, I was using that as a contrived example. I probably wouldn't actually use it for that. And the light in my office just went out for no good reason because I guess Matter is not a mature platform or something. I don't know.
How do you work in tech and have anything electronic in your home? I have hard deadlocks. The only thing smart in my house is my thermostat, and that's because I want to be able to adjust it from like my phone. It's the only thing that I have that's anything smart to it. There's nothing smart. Nothing's tech works.
Because I don't want to have to use my feet like a sucker. Is it going to be this? And, well, I may never have lights in this room again. Okay.
So some of the other things in 8.6 coming are the read-only properties for read-only property defaults. With the addition of property hooks in 8.4, you can define those property hooks on interfaces. And because of this change, the read-only properties with default values would make sense. So you can have something like this example where the read-only string is a name and it's a date and some value.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great feature. The name doesn't feel like it does justice to it. I don't know why. I don't know what else you could call it, but like that name doesn't suggest what the notation actually is. But I love that feature.
Yeah. The other thing that is kind of interesting, I think, and I'm not entirely sure like what my use case for it would be today, the polling API. But I've read a few things here and there, and this may be just something to facilitate more internal things, internal changes or future changes. Is that right? Have y'all read much into this yet?
Yeah, I've read a bit into it. But yeah, it is more for future looking things. It's more like to improve performance of anytime you have multiple reads. Personally, I think it looks like it's more future looking to when threading becomes more plausible. Or for things like Swole and all that. But Sarah, you're kind of have a look on your face. Did I say something wrong?
No, I'm just sort of letting the conversation have. I don't have to be like the center of every conversation. You guys can like just talk amongst yourselves. No, just scroll down. Conversation.
No, it's fine. Sorry, I was trying to do two different things. So the next one is the clamp function. Which a lot of frameworks were implementing themselves, but it's going to come native in 8.6. This is essentially a function that ensures a given valid is within a given bound. If not, the nearest edge is returned. So I think this is going to be useful for date calculations, maybe, trying to find the nearest edge, I guess. Maybe there's other applications.
So,
I mean, there's many uses for a clamp. Dates, you know, like a percentage 0 to 100 or any kind of range sort of value. Like,
I still don't understand why clamp had to be part of the language and not just part of like a library. We just said like everybody already implemented it. What does it benefit by having it in the language itself?
Absolutely nothing. But PHP is a kitchen sink language, so that ship has sailed. I agree with you for the record. Fucking light. God damn.
Sarah's in the dark. I'm trying to not get my jugular cut by a cat every 5 seconds here. And Joe just is going to be like cutting off the stream any moment when things go bad for the rest of us.
No, it's going great.
Yeah, this is super smooth. No complaints. What was I saying? Yes, no. I agree with you for the record. There are many things that just really, really absolutely profoundly do not need to be built into the language, but we have such a tradition of it that it's just going to be what it is for God knows how long. I'm just going to turn off all of my Home Assistant automations because I don't know what the hell's going on, but I don't want to deal with it right now. And
what is it, 11 o'clock there? You're supposed to be in bed. Your Home Assistant is trying to put you to bed. It's trying to be your nanny.
Sarah, go to sleep. It should stay on. And if it doesn't, well, that works.
If you threaten the technology, there you go.
That's right. So the next one coming up in 8.6 is a duration class. And this is kind of cool because it's going to allow you to represent a duration of time. And it also comes with some new methods on being able to get a duration from seconds, from milliseconds, and then also multiply and divide those values.
Honestly, it blows me away that we haven't had a duration class yet. Like, that seems like such a very obvious complement to a date time is, you know, 2 weeks after this date.
Yeah, and I guess most of the frameworks are using their own syntactic sugar, or they're using a package like Carbon that gets around this. Mm-hmm. It's probably why there hasn't been anything native. But so going back to the argument of having things in the language versus out of the language, is this something that we had to have in the language, or is this something that could have also, like clamp, just been stayed defined in user land?
So the reason I would favor this kind of thing being in the language is because of the underlying datetime library. The daytime class isn't just a thing that you would just write in PHP. It is all of the knowledge about time zones that lies underneath that that's built into libdatetime. And durations are fundamentally sort of like tied to those notions. I can see the connection with like an actual library and why you would want that to be built into language as opposed, well, okay, properly it should be a third-party extension, but that ship has also sailed because people don't want to build third-party extensions for PHP for some insane reason, even though they do it all the time for Python or Node or anything else. Shake my fist at clouds.
Remind me again, is duration a mutable or immutable class?
I believe it's mutable. Immutable, but only because Derek has largely considered mutability to be a bad decision and has been annoyed by it ever since.
He's not wrong, but
I can see both sides of that argument.
Okay, Joe, you're wrong.
Exactly. You know what's really right, though? This word from this week's partner.
Whether you're building your next great PHP application or maintaining solutions that your business depends on, PHP Architect Consulting is here to help. Our expert consulting team can assist with architecture performance, modernization, security, and solving your toughest web development challenges. We embed directly as your engineering team, ensuring seamless integration and support. Together, we'll elevate your existing skills or build robust solutions that meet your business needs. Visit phparch.com to learn more about our consulting services. Subscribe to the magazine and register for PHP Tech. That's phparch.com.
All right. Thank you very much, my own company, for being a partner. That was a little awkward. But yeah, that was our new commercial for if you need consulting services on your project, if you need to extend your team or expand your team or have a team embedded with your existing engineering team, give us a shout. You can contact us at support@phparch.com. That kitten is being very well behaved from what I can tell.
Well, it's not behaved. She's sick. She has been the cuddly little clingy mess for about 3 days. She had to go to the ER emergency vet on Sunday and Monday both. She was fine, but on Sunday, like, she started not being able to breathe well. We took her to the vet. They put her on some antibiotics. And then on Monday, then she couldn't stand up straight. So whatever she had in her chest converted to a sinus and ear infection, which threw off her balance. And she is finally starting to recover, but she's still kind of a clingy mess.
Oh, poor cat.
She's been through, like, her sister, we adopted her and her sister both just about 3 weeks ago now. And her sister is about twice her size now. And she's not growing so much because she's not eating because she's been nauseous for like 4 days. And yeah, she's very cuddly. She's rosy.
She doesn't need to get big. She just needs the love.
I've thought about that before too. Like, I wish there was like a way you could keep a kitten tiny and a kitten forever, but like, that's not fair to them. I don't know. On the flip side of it, I wish my young kids would get older sooner, but that's.
Now
I'm like, my oldest is 19. I'm like, aren't you still 3? What are you talking about?
I definitely think of my sister's kids like that. My niece has got 26 this year. She's still just this tiny little thing to me.
So
anything else in the 8.6 stuff that we want to talk about? I mean, there are actually there's a lot of deprecations.
Deprecate all the things. Just let's get rid of the language. The language was a bad idea to begin with.
Deprecate
clamp? I think you have to wait the next version to deprecate that. I don't think you can add it and deprecate it in the same. I mean, maybe you can. Would that
challenge accepted? I mean,
maybe that's. I'm not sure how that would work process wise.
Let's talk to the release manager. What do we have to say, release manager?
The release manager said he doesn't know.
Well, Holly, you were looking to introduce something in 8.7, right? Can we start the deprecation process for that now?
You can't deprecate it. It's new. It's, come on. Can't deprecate it and then release it. That's not going to work. What the heck?
No. Deprecate first, then release.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, sure.
That'll guarantee the release. If something's already deprecated, then you have to release it. Otherwise, that would be ridiculous.
Hey, I do crazy like all day, so I'll take that, sure.
3D.
So what are we deprecating here? We have had a couple important ones there.
Yeah, so a lot of these are, or at least some of them are from Gina P. Banyard, who organized the whole RFC for the deprecations for 8.6. And a lot of them is an attempt to deprecate things so that they can be reused as keywords or reserved words in the engine in a future release. And I agree with a lot of those and voted that way on the RFC, but I know that there was some pushback on a handful of them for sure.
List was one I would love to have seen removed. That one I think failed.
Yeah, I have a hard time wanting to deprecate that because I guess I've just seen that in so much legacy code. I feel like the blast radius there is just really, really large.
How often do you write it in new code? Because I have never written it in anything post 7.
And that's the argument, right? Is at what point do you deprecate and force people to upgrade these versions and rewrite their code? And I know languages as a whole tend to try not to have these instances where they're forcing people to do major code rewrites just to jump versions. And PHP has certainly come a long way in doing the faster release cycles that allows smaller changes to go from version to version. So upgrading has been easier than ever in the past few versions, in my opinion. But you've got still people running on 5 and early 7 versions. What do you do? I mean, do you just toss them Rector and say good luck?
I lost my cat now.
Oh.
Anyway. I don't know. I guess I'd never liked the list functionality in the first place. So I'm
that's fair. Yeah.
So like I'm not an unbiased person on that, and I can't pretend I am, because like the splat is that's typically called. Like that's a useful thing, but also that's usually a bad practice. It's usually problematic in other ways. So I don't know.
I guess would you rather do func get args?
I like structures. I like value type structures. I might introduce those. Look what a crazy face. Yeah. I feel like PHP in general has been overdue for tuples of some sort for quite a while and like in a meaningful way. And like, that's what I feel like should have replaced them, but like that's maybe should have come first, but whatever. We're keeping lists for now. There's not a list. There's no shortage of other words to use for an array. So you know what? That's fine. We'll live with lists.
Yeah. So I was just curious and did some research, and on PHP 8.6, there were about 28 proposals voted on for deprecations in that RFC. For PHP 8.5, there was about 46. 8.4 saw about 26 proposals. 8.3 only saw 6. And 8.2, to the best of my recollection, and the best of my research, was never voted on. There was a draft RFC, but it was never voted on. I was going to ask, do y'all remember what happened in 8.2 for deprecations?
Was that roughly around the time that Nikita started to drop out of the project?
Could have been.
Because deprecations really took off under Nikita. And like they were literally called Nikita's hit list at a certain point.
Nice.
And that feels like right about the time that he started to step back from work on the project to switch over to LLVM. So that was probably why it just didn't happen. It needed another release for somebody else to take over.
So that was July 2021 was the date of the RFC for deprecations for 8.2. And it was, that probably checks out.
I mean, it's just a guess. I don't know for sure.
Yeah, no, I just thought it was interesting going back and comparing the numbers, because I felt like this was a large number of deprecations for one version, but it really was kind of, it was pretty average.
I mean, it is a lot. Let's be completely honest about it. It is a lot. But that's not a reason not to do it.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
No, I think we did pretty good. Like, everything, if I look at that list, like, all the things that are on there, like, I question, like, were these even were still in the language. So I don't think anything on there should be that big of a surprise. And, like, a couple of the keywords are kind of overdue.
I think it is important to bear in mind that there are two very different populations of PHP users. One population, which is us, which is largely the people watching and listening right now, are the people who are upgrading aggressively, are staying on supported versions, and are actually updating their code along the way to take advantage of new features. And there's the group who just want to run their fucking WordPress site or whatever they want to do, and they want the language to not move out of the way underneath them. So they have to figure out what happened to MySQL or what happened to why are my ternaries backwards or what have you. And it's not as though we can just ignore either of those groups. We should be pushing language forward, but we should probably not be like just aggressively messing up the other group.
Yeah, well, I'm all for let's deprecate these things with a plan of, you know, reusing these words or as keywords, reserved words, what have you. But at the same time, PHP is notoriously not really subscribed to roadmaps or such things like that. So it's how could we better convey the reasoning behind these deprecations without doing something like a roadmap? Or is a roadmap the answer?
I would love a roadmap. I wish we had a roadmap.
I put together a bunch of proposals. Everybody in the community's heard this by now. And I started putting it together. I'm like, I wanted to write a blog post about this. And I was kind of just workshopping some ideas with AI. And even the AI said, PHP internals does not handle roadmaps well. If you put that idea, if you put that word in there, you should just assume this is going to fail. And that
even the AIs are like, whoa, don't.
Oh,
and it's. I think it's true, and I don't like it.
But I'm also laughing, right? I really do hate that for us as a language.
But like we need a roadmap. I'm not saying we need to do like have a hit list today, but maybe we say, hey, we want to do these things for 9, these things for 10. That gives us like a 6-year plan. Let's do it.
I think we take a page out of the game, out of the gaming universe, out of all the game dev companies, and they post this really colorful, really awesome picture of all the things that they're working on, and they put years on it instead of dates, and they say approximately 2026 release date, early access, whatever these dates are, right? Let's do that, and let's not hold people to the fire if something slips, right? This is still an open source volunteer run project for the most part. So let's, you know, or maybe this is something that the foundation is gonna have to own if the foundation wants a roadmap, right? Maybe there's somebody within the foundation that works with all the contractors there and says, all right, here's a rough roadmap of what everybody's working on. How do we better push the resources the foundation is paying for the humans to do the work? How do we better push that towards the shared goal of the roadmap? So, I mean, that's just one idea.
My lawyer has advised me not to mention that this was a topic in our last meeting.
No, fantastic.
I think a lot of...
But it doesn't mean that that's something we can just push. Like
no, and I freely admit that that is a very hard thing to do, right? You're taking a bunch of people who are working on totally different things without a whole lot of overlap, and you're asking them to figure out how do they all point themselves in the right direction or in the same direction, right?
The foundation's actual devs that are being paid are mostly self-directed. Like, we're not like telling them like, oh, well, the donors want X, so you better be working on X. That's not happening. But at the same time, just as people who are in support of PHP, in this conversation we're having here, wouldn't it be great if PHP did have something that at least vaguely looks like a roadmap? Not necessarily like a set in stone, this is what we're going to do, but like on a broad scale, like, hey, you know what? a good justification for bumping to 9 might be if we had a feature like X. Or, hey, maybe by the time we get to 10, it'd be really nice if we had something that solved a particular problem. Not how to solve it, but just like that did solve this problem. Those kinds of levels of aims and goals would be a nice to have for the project as a whole. But that's going to take a lot of different people coming together and deciding that that's, you know, what we want to aim for.
Oh, absolutely. If you are interested in what people are working on, what are the contractors working on, there is a blog post on the foundation of the quarterly progress report. This is the first one they've done. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. This dives into detail into what a lot of different people are working on. So if you're interested and curious what are the contractors in the foundation actually doing, this is a great insight into that.
You know, one of the things I think it's important to call out in there is like everybody out in the community talks about all the I'll just call it the sexy projects, all the like high visibility things people want. No one talks about the boring things. No one talks about all the hard work that goes into all those little tasks of like FAR and like
triaging or bug reports.
Exactly. All the little things that nobody really thinks about. That's
documentation.
Documentation. Absolutely.
We don't write that. Why would anybody write that?
But that documentation is the unsung hero of PHP through its entire existence.
But yeah, I think we need to do a little bit better job of saying, like, here's all the work that goes into just keeping things alive, keeping the wheels on, keeping the lights on, as we used to call it at a couple of the jobs I've worked at. Like, a lot of effort goes into that. And that is, I don't think those people get appreciation like they deserve. Like, they're not doing the headline features. They are keeping the lights on. So, you know, applause to them for putting in that effort and keeping that going.
We're getting a lot of quiet times in this episode. Am I not a high energy enough? Do we need more chaos from me?
Really? You want to focus on me again here, Joe?
I'm just out of practice, I guess, by doing it too much. The next thing I wanted to talk about.
What do you mean out of practice? You've been practicing doing exactly that.
I know. And I don't know what my deal is. I guess it's because I keep changing my monitor layout, and I think that's what's messing with me. I haven't found a layout that lets me see all the things that I want to see easily yet. So the next thing I wanted to talk about and share is Longhorn PHP has taking their schedule live. So if you have nowhere else to be other than Austin in October 15th or 16th, check out Longhorn PHP. Our very own Holly is going to be speaking.
Yay. Yep, I am a 2:30 slot on there.
So. What are you going to be speaking about? I can't read because I have terrible vision.
So the talk is called That's Your Website, Not Your Mobile App. It's kind of actually focused on a pet peeve of mine that everybody loves to do. They love to like, oh, look, we have a Laravel app. We have a React site. We have whatever. And like, let's just ship it. Let's just wrap it in a native wrap. Let's put it into Ionic. Let's put it into like whatever and ship it as an app. And look, I understand like budgets and resources and all that, but there's a lot of little things you can do to make that not suck. And it's not about, oh, use React Native versus using Flutter, using native PHP or it's not about the tech stack. It's about like what features you're doing and how you're bridging those gaps because the model is different.
Mm-hmm.
So it is going to be a 1 hour or 50 minute, whatever the time slot is, venting session of these are my pet peeves, stop doing them to all the people who are adapting their websites to mobile apps.
Is this your first time speaking at a conference?
At Longhorn, yeah.
At Longhorn? Okay.
Awesome. Otherwise, like I typically have been speaking. So during Laracon, I actually was speaking at a mobile developers meetup group in Chicago. And so I was like, I know I haven't spoken at that group since I moved out of Chicago, and it's been a long time. I looked up like the date that I had last spoken, and it was 1 week shy of 10 years since the last time I had presented at that group.
Oh, wow. So,
they've told me they're looking forward to my next presentation 10 years from now.
They already lock you down on the date.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a topic. Exactly.
So I'm excited though. Come out, see me, see everybody else. I'm excited for Longhorn. It should be great.
Yep. I had a conflict this year, so I didn't submit, but I enjoyed it last year.
What do you mean you have a conflict, Joe? You're coming. You need to at least show up. You don't have to talk. You can show up.
Unless something changes in the calendar, I am locked up that weekend. So,
Sarah? Sarah?
Fuck no. I love Longhorn. I would recommend going to Longhorn. It's a good conference. People run it really great. They put on a good show. But I don't want to cross an ocean for a while if I can avoid it.
Yeah, I don't blame you there.
Texas, anyway.
Illinois, though. Or Illinois. Especially
you know, at least it's Austin, but yeah.
At least it's Austin, yes. Austin is the best part of Texas. I will give you that.
I wish it was a little bit closer of a drive because I could possibly drive it. But yeah, I don't know. I've just got timing things for that weekend are just crazy. Eric wasn't going to pay for
where you are,
Joe. What was that, Sarah?
I always forget where you are, Joe. Where is
Memphis?
Memphis, right?
Yeah. So I'm about 7.5 hours ish away from Chicago, and I'm about 9 or 10 hours from Austin. I'm thinking very seriously about. Yeah, I think I'm going to drive to the tech next time.
You should.
Well, I mean, they offered me a plane ticket to fly in for Longhorn. I'm like, no, thanks. I'll drive. Like, I hate flying. So.
The flight
go through Cincinnati on the way and pick up Elizabeth. You guys will have a great road trip.
There you go.
Okay, so if you're listening on this, you might hear got a little bit of background noise. My son is in his tuba lesson that started like 5 minutes ago.
We're not going to get DMCA'd by YouTube, right?
If you hear him playing like these workshop tones, whatever.
playing scales.
My son, he's in high school. He's really excited about going to UW-Madison. He wants to be in the band there for college. And so like Elizabeth, when she and I were talking, she's like, oh yeah, she loves Ohio. I'm like, okay, well, we can't be friends then because Ohio, we have like core fundamental issues of like our school versus their school. Don't care about anything else. To the point of my son is a tuba player. Ohio always has a tuba dot the I when they do marching band. Like on the field, they always have a tuba close to the phone. That dots the I when they do a formation. And my son's band teacher had said, hey, you might think about going there. Tubas are really prized there. And he's like, absolutely not. Like limiting your college choices over the grudge. Yeah, I mean, I get it, but also maybe we should talk about that a little bit differently. A Woods. All right. A Woods, where do you live? I'll pick you up. You can come to Longhorn with me.
I believe he's in New York or the New York area.
Okay. That's too far.
Last I saw.
That Joe, is a I'll little pick bit you of a up. Detour. I'm driving right through Memphis if you want. Like, I'll pick you up along the way.
I mean, that wouldn't be terrible. I gotta see how that weekend goes, or the week before that weekend. I gotta see how those things are gonna line up. We'll see.
I'll tell you what, if you can stop by my place, I'll totally come with on that road trip.
I need to get a snorkel on my truck for that.
But I'm not driving.
I guess you could get like a car carrier and do it on a boat and just take the car on a boat across the pond. I'm sure that's a thing. It's probably really expensive and really slow.
I know Allison's hubby, Brady, brought his car over when they moved here. So, Snipe, rather.
Yeah, Snipe.
He was very attached to that car, so he brought it with him, apparently.
Nice. They brought all their pets, too, didn't they?
Yeah.
I remember reading about that adventure.
Dogs.
Yeah.
Which sounds exhausting.
Yeah, it does sound like a lot of work.
Yeah, I mean, what you have to do like vet stuff for animal transport and getting them certified and all that other stuff. Yeah.
Quarantines and yada, yada, yada. And I think it was during the pandemic as well, which, you know, just because you needed another challenge.
Right. You had to do it on hard mode.
Yeah.
All right. A Woods, here's the plan. If you're in New York, take an Amtrak to Tennessee. We're going to pick up you and Joe there and we'll drive the rest of the way down. We got a little convoy going. We'll be good.
There you go.
Trains are so expensive, though.
Yeah, I don't understand why train is more expensive than flying. And like,
yeah, I could fly to Chicago first class.
Amtrak is.
Yeah, compared to Amtrak, and then it would take three times as long.
There's a major corridor between Chicago and New York. I always wanted to take that to go to the office. Never did, because it was like a grand to go Chicago to New York. And I'm like, I can fly that for $100. Something's wrong there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I pay for my monthly rail pass in Portugal? I pay 20 euros and I can go the entire length of the country, top to bottom.
That's awesome.
As many times as I want during the month on 20 euros. So, trains.
They're kind of cool.
A little jealous. Yeah.
I am too.
I'm grabbing one of those trains tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. down to Lagos.
So, do we want to talk about the meat proxy?
Yeah. Let's cover that one. And then we can probably wrap up. We're getting close to time. Let me share my screen. I've got to figure out a better way of doing that. There we go.
So be prepared that I'm going to be, yeah, there it is.
Yeah,
I
see,
knew it was coming.
Right. Yeah. Because I forgot to hide the chat. There we go. All right. So I saw this on the internet. This came out 3 days ago. And it was written by Nicholas Grum. This name sounds familiar. Maybe I've read the blog before or whatnot, but the blog was titled Don't Be a Meat Proxy. And it immediately grabbed my attention because my favorite line from The Fifth Element is, I am a meat popsicle. And a meat proxy just kind of reminded me of that when he's being investigated and when the cops show up at his house. They ask him if he's a human or what is he, and he says, I'm a meat popsicle. So this is an article talking about don't be a meat proxy. And I laughed as soon as I read this and realized what it was about. But essentially what this is saying is don't be a proxy for AI. Don't copy paste AI to other humans. And the author talks about too often he asks a question in Slack or leaves feedback, and then he gets a giant clawed response back as a response. And I definitely appreciate this. And I try very hard not to be a meat proxy when I'm working with AI. I typically will read through all of the feedback, condense it, distill it down into something, rewrite it in most cases, and then share it. I've done this to Eric a few times, and he can tell you, and I've done it to some of our other coworkers, where I start by saying, hey, this is, you know, robot emoji. This is Claude. I haven't vetted this yet. This may be total bullshit. Here's a large copy paste. I'm going to go vet this now. So feel free to skip this until I come back and tell you that it's actually legit or not. Right. I try to do that to where I want to like unblock people, but I don't, but I also like want to warn them and be like, I'm not telling you to go read this giant block of code that may or may not solve your problem. Right.
Well, the thing is, if you feel inclined to go and ask Claude or Gemini or whoever, and just regurgitate that, here's the thing. The person asking the question could have done that. Maybe already has. You're not actually adding value.
Right.
Okay, but I feel like you two have not worked in the same office as I have.
That's entirely possible.
So,
if
Joe,
your
you
coworkers
have...
are not capable of asking an AI a question, then why are they your coworkers? Why are they...
So first of all, I've done this, and in general, this is a bad thing to do, and I am guilty of it, and I try hard not to do this. But here's what the workflow happens, and that's when I get to the point of like, just here's Claude's answer. I get asked a question that they could have asked Claude or whatever immediately. They immediately like, and then so I give them a one-line answer that I know, and they're like, okay, well, that doesn't handle blank. Like, okay, you're right. That's the limit of the truth that I said. I condensed it down to one sentence for you. Here was it what it was. You are hitting on the point of, yeah, it breaks further than that. So if I expand it now it's four sentences. Here's the like expanded truth. And they're like, well, what happens when the other thing happens now? Okay, so here's the whole paragraph from Claude then. Just here it is. You could have asked it yourself. You're just being either adversarial or trying to be self-important. Or you're not thinking this through enough yourself. Those have been my coworkers in the past. And for the record, I'm not calling out any specific of my jobs, but I've had those people at every company I've been at. And it is such a frustration to me that like some people don't put the minimum effort into asking the question. Why am I putting effort into generating an answer for it? So I think
why
this
are
is
you
broken
putting
on
effort?
Both sides.
That's my question.
Well, okay, so
why
you're not
are you
only
putting effort in.
So you're not only putting in effort, but in some cases, you're spending a lot of tokens, a lot of your AI budget to solve their problem.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Yeah. So that's the issue. So sometimes they'll ask, like, hey, here's my question. I'm like, okay, well, you could have answered that question yourself. Then I get called rude.
Like, so I would say that they're rude for not ask, for the way they ask the question.
So what I get a lot is I get
Sarah, have you been in our Discord chat lately for PHP internals? I am not labeled as the friendly person there. I am trying very hard to like accommodate people who have been not so polite or asked very direct or misleading or frustratingly obvious questions. And I
have your coworkers ever created a website tracking whether or not you're pissed off or not?
Ooh, wait, there's a story there, it sounds like. I want to hear this.
The site's not in there anymore, but it was issarahpissed.com. And it would give a single, it would give a very brief answer. That answer would be the most recent tweet posted to the @issarahpissed Twitter account, which my coworkers could post to as an early warning system.
I love that.
Yeah.
So my dad, he was a manager at a cold storage for 20 years. And he had one particular employee work with him for 7 years. And he finally went up to my dad and said, Wally, I just realized after 7 years of working with you that you're not pissed off every single day. That's just who you are. That's just how your face is. That's just all that. And my dad,
fuck you face.
Yes, it is. And that's what my dad has. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, that's who he is. I've known him my whole life. I absolutely see it. As soon as I heard that story, though, I heard like, I did the same thing. And I've made a conscious effort to smile more, to be more personable and all that. But I still have the resting fuck you face.
I hate the smile more stuff. I hate it so much.
I hate it too. And I don't tell people that, especially to women. But I know for myself, like, I have to make a conscious effort to be personable. Otherwise, like, I scare people away.
I would be a much nicer person if the people around me weren't fucking morons.
Yeah. It really is.
I know that's victim blaming, but.
Well, I mean, we're the victim of their stupidity, so.
Exactly.
See, what I get a lot is I get people just ask me a thing. It's like, you know, and let me, and I spend a few cycles like digging through my facts in my head. And if I can't immediately spit that out, I'm like, I don't know, go Google it. Or I don't know, ask Claude. Or if somebody's trying to describe a problem and somebody's like, hey, I'm having this problem, and they're not doing what you would say would be like the best way to ask a technical question. They're just kind of saying, here's my problem. And I'm like, well, what did Claude say? And I, and in some cases I'll ask that, in some cases I won't. But it's always like, if you know somebody has access to the tools, they may just be frustrated. They just may be stuck, or they may be in a time crunch. Yeah. and they're not doing whatever. So I always try to like answer somebody. Like if somebody asks me what color is the shed? Well, it's blue currently. No, it's great. No, I'm just kidding. It's like, if I can just spit that out, if I can spit that fact out, right, I'm happy to answer that question because it doesn't cost me anything, right? It doesn't derail me in most cases. And I think that's fine. But if you're just asking to ask, that's a different problem.
I mean, even before AI.
I enjoy telling people information that I know. I enjoy educating them on things. The fourth or fifth time I have to tell them the same thing, then yeah. I will send them a link to justfuckinggoogleit.com.
Well, and that was what I was going to say, is like, long before AI was a thing, let me Google that for you.com was a thing.
That was the one I was thinking of. Yes. Thank you.
Yes. And like so many people, whether they're coworkers or anything else, like they would ask a question like, okay, you know what? Let me Google that for you. And that would be the response. You could send them a link. And you know, if you send it through like Bitly or something like that, even better. But now they can do that. They have that same power for any body of work. If that's a pull request and yeah. they have a question about it that's obvious, you know what? Turn your own Claude on it. So if they didn't do that, I have no objection to like, okay, you know what? You asked me a question. Here's your first level answer that you could have gotten yourself. And that's where I don't like doing it. But also, like, I don't feel like if you're not going to put forth the effort, why should I?
And again, to be clear, there's some gradients in there. There yeah. is the far end, which I've been kind of espousing this entire time, but I do want to back up a little bit on at the far end of, you could have Googled this, you could have asked an AI this. There's also the end of like, hey, I'm looking for advice on what you think is the best way to do X, which is not necessarily an objective fact that can be done to a
right.
random sentence generator to get an answer for.
So, right, and that's 100% the case. Like, this is not a black and white. There's a huge gradient here, yeah. but like there are cases, not recently, but like there are cases where you should be giving that answer, and it's a conversation starter, and where you're opening a dialogue. There are yeah. times where that was a stupid question. Let me Google that for you. And there's a huge spectrum between there.
Yes. Yeah. That, yeah. But I will say that the balance of that has shifted much further over to the just fucking Google that end of the spectrum, because search, and I've said this, I fucking hate AIs, but they're really good at search. So just search.
They're really good at doing what humans don't want to do, which is read and grok information.
Yeah.
There's some irony in there, I think, somewhere.
Oh, there's some deep irony in there.
I have to say, actually, that's one of the things I love about the XAI's bot. Like, naming it Grok was clever. I have to give them that. I don't like anything to do with the companies and all that, but like, that was a clever name. I'll give you that one.
Better than what they named their other products, for sure.
I'm surprised it didn't have an X in it, honestly. But or maybe it's Grek spelled with an X, and then like
Grok's also would have been too far of a reach, maybe. And with that, I think we're going to call it a show. Thank you, everyone, for watching. If you were watching live, thanks for contributing. Thanks for talking to us while we podcast. We appreciate it. If you want to join us live for the next show next week, the same time, join us at discord.phbarch.com. Make sure you check out phbtech.io and get your early bird tickets and book your hotel block for PHP Tech next April. And we will see you next week. Thanks for watching.
This has been PHP Podcast, the official podcast of PHP Architect, the industry's leading tech magazine and publisher focused on PHP and web development. Subscribe today at phparch.com to see what the leaders in the community and industry are talking about. This has been PHP Podcast, the official podcast of PHP Architect, the industry's leading tech magazine and publisher focused on PHP and web development. Subscribe today at phparch.com to see what the leaders in the community and industry are talking about.